So we're now going to move on and hear from Healthy Communities Wyandotte. We have three community leaders who are going to share the podium, beginning with Mayor Joe Reardon, who is serving his second term as the mayor, CEO of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County and Kansas City, Kansas. He will be joined by Joe Connor, who is the director of the Public Health Department for the Unified Government, and Caitlin McMurtry, who is the program coordinator for their community-wide initiative called Healthy Communities Wyandotte. So I'll turn it over to Mayor Reardon, or Caitlin. I'm sorry.
Thank you all so much for coming, and welcome to our presentation on mobilizing multi-sectoral partners to transition from community health data to action. We have no relationships to disclose. And to orient you a little bit to our presentation, first you'll hear from our mayor, Joe Reardon, and he's representing the perspective of an elected official. So he'll talk about how he embraced bad news in Wyandotte County to promote progress, how he framed community health as economic development to get people engaged, and how he used his position as mayor to span traditional boundaries and get our multi-sectoral partners to the table. Then you'll hear from Joe Connor, our health department director, who will talk about how he facilitated coalition efforts when we were able to get all those folks together and have them play nicely with one another, and how we have addressed funding and other implementation challenges in Wyandotte County. And finally, you'll hear from me as a researcher and a practitioner about how we promote evidence-based policy and practice in our coalition. So without further ado, Mayor Reardon.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I'm thrilled to be with you today. As Caitlin said, I'm Joe Reardon. I'm the mayor of the Unified Government. I'm in my eighth year, and it's been a great journey. So let me start out by saying that we're dead last, and we have been for a couple of years. I'm the community, 105 out of 105 counties. I'm at the bottom. So I got the call from my county health director. You can imagine what that call's like, telling me that this information is going to hit the press, and what are you going to do? That's been a couple years ago. It was an uncomfortable call. So let me give you a perspective as an elected official. Elected officials don't like bad news and rankings. And so we have people that consult with us, and they tell us when you get one of these things, we're coached, right? When you get one of these things, run away. Go find something else that says something good. Do not engage in this because, and they would tell you in this one, because it's too hard and you've got to try to involve too many people. You do not want to own this. So at some moment, and believe me, that was in my ear. And at some moment in time, we decided to take a different course. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how we decided to take a different course, and then a little bit about what that sort of has meant for us in Wyandotte County and in Kansas City, Kansas. So let me give you a sense of the community. We're in the Kansas City metropolitan area. Kansas City, Missouri is the big city. We're sort of the smaller city, about 155,000 in the county itself. We unified our government in 1997, city and county combined together. And the reason was that for a couple of decades, we were on the absolute wrong course in nearly any way that you could measure it, even beyond what you're seeing in social determinants of health. And so our community said, enough, get together, let's try something different. And hard-baked into the charter that created the unified government was grow the community economically. And so since 97, we've been on that course. And quite frankly, by nearly any measure, we've been fairly successful. To the point that this year we will, actually this next year, we will open up the largest office complex in the history of the city, 640,000 square feet, creating 4,000 new jobs in healthcare IT. This is in a community that's been manufacturing for probably nearly its entire existence. And we were able to attract the MLS soccer team to a new stadium in our community. Sporting KC's the team. So if you kind of dwell in MLS, we are going to win the cup this year. So take a look. We're going to be on TV in our first playoff game on Sunday on NBC. So I had to, I'm a mayor. I got to plug a little bit. So this amazing engine of economic growth is occurring, and then lo and behold, I'm in the chair, and I get the call from Joe, hey, the rankings are bad, what are we going to do with this? I get the advice, run away. And I also think, how can this be? We've got the University of Kansas Health Medical Center in our community and another community hospital, and this is Kansas. So many counties in Kansas have no access to that kind of care. So, you know, I don't know anything about these rankings. I'm like, Joe, we've got these institutions. How can we be last? So Joe walks me through. Well, it's the social determinants of health. I'm a stranger to how those fold up into the work that many of you do. But then I started looking at that after I got over being upset and all the advice. And I realized that all those issues, education, all that sort of thing, obesity, those issues had been around in Wyandotte County for decades as well. And they were still there. And all of a sudden, you know, as mayor, sometimes your agenda has to change. And mine had to change. It had to move not just from growing the economy by the jobs, but it had to be about how we lift up the community with the opportunities that are coming before us. And so in my State of the Government speech in 2010, I decided to make this my platform and own it. And that unleashed sort of a new dynamic where I got to meet so many great people like you all in the room that work in this area. And what I quickly found was that my director of public health was already in this place. He already was there, and I just wasn't listening and didn't see it. And he became the key person. You're going to hear from him in a few minutes in really taking this thing forward with me. And we decided we got to bring people to the table. Bottom line, we got to get people to the table, because if I'm going to own it, by golly, other people are going to own it too, right? And so we did. We brought a great number of folks to the table, the CEOs of the hospital, the school districts. You know, we don't talk very much to the school districts at the time. We got them at the table. We got our business community at the table. I got some good commissioners that were interested in this area to the table, and people started talking. And a lot of times, these people they've been doing great things. They had not been talking to one another. And it was great to get that to occur. The commissioners and myself needed to learn that we need to put away our political agendas, not make them this program, and let those that are involved in our community own this and actually bring their own agendas to the table. So we went out and engaged our public. And Joe might say this later. When we decided to do this, open meetings, right? Again, something that mayors are, you know, we're a little bit nervous about. And we had these open meetings, and we didn't know what would happen. You know, they all knew these rankings. They knew it was bad news. That was all over the paper and the new, you know, all that. So were they just going to come and try to kill the government? And it was quite the opposite. It was amazing. It really surprised me. Our community, for the most part, they got it. They might not express it in the same way that you read in the literature, but they knew these were issues that have been around for a long time. And many of them knew that the solution wasn't just that the unified government was going to wave a magic wand or write a check to someone and that everything would become better. And so we had an amazing dialogue, and the community really began to start to own the strategy and own the potential outcomes. And I will say, I mean, and this is probably communities like mine are very much like this. I want to try and make sure I'm keeping on time. Is, you know, there had been a lot of studies over time, and one thing we heard loud and clear from our citizens were, we want to move to action. You know, we don't want to just know what the problem is. We want to make sure that we are moving down a path of action. And so we started to develop a strategy around that that turned into the Healthy Communities Wyandotte. And you'll hear a little bit about that strategy. But what we really felt was important as we took a look at this was that we needed to move into five strategic areas and start to take action in those areas in making an impact so that people could see it. So definitely, as Kate mentioned earlier, about having those early successes and wins to try to move the ball forward is very important. So right out of the gate, we passed a complete streets ordinance. And one of the learnings that we had in this is that one thing definitely builds upon another and takes you to another place. So the complete streets ordinance was a fantastic thing for us to do. But the next step that we took more recently was we were able to get a local foundation to fund a sidewalk control master plan for our entire city, which had never been done before. And we received a $190,000 grant to do that, including an assessment. We didn't even know in our city hall where all of our sidewalks were. I mean, you know, nobody had done that before. So we got college students out. They got the GPS stuff out, and they went out and they assessed every single sidewalk. And they developed a priority list for how we ought to tackle sidewalk replacement and new sidewalk. Now, I got to tell you, one of the learnings from an elected official was, and I didn't know this at the beginning, is that when you orient your policy around the social determinants of health and frame the topic like that, you can overcome political obstacles. At least we have been able to in Wyandotte County. So I've been mayor for 8 years. I was on the commission before. Every single year, we would talk about how, because, you know, district commissioners, they want new sidewalks. Looks good in their neighborhood. You know, people want to know why their sidewalks crumbled or why they don't have it. We would never get anywhere because it became territorial immediately. What happened was, is one commissioner that represented this part of town says, well, if you're going to get a piece of it, then I got to get a piece of it. And we would lock up because we couldn't develop a priority strategy to tackle the issue. Well, now that we start to look at it from health outcomes and the social determinants and develop a well-thought-out strategy of greatest impact, of how safe routes to school can sort of guide this, how connecting to a park in an area might develop a strategy, the political fight went away. It changed the way that our own governing body started to look at it. And the exciting thing is when you're able to lock policy into place, after you've been doing this for a while, your administrative staff and your professionals can be your biggest allies. Because they can carry that, you know, the elected officials aren't involved every day, and our commissioners are part-time. But it's our professional staff that every day is developing our strategies and our expenditures around public works projects. And now they have a guiding tool that we've enacted and approved as a governing body that allow them to start to invest regularly in that respect, which is really going to make a substantial change over time in our community. So this framing from an elected official's perspective can change the way the politics works, which is very important. Second, these are sort of enlightenments for me as I've done this, is that when you start to talk about this in the public, you get engagement in different ways. It becomes a little fluid, but it's really amazing, and we've seen it happen in Wyandotte County. I'll give you one quick example. So in one of the poorest parts of our community, and our county's the poorest county in the state of Kansas, it's the most diverse too. We have a wonderful county. But in this area that we have not invested a lot of money in infrastructure, we went in and we didn't just redo a street that hadn't been done in 30 years. We put sidewalks on both sides, made it a parkway, really beautified it, and offered an opportunity for something different to happen in this part of town. About a month after we cut the ribbon on it, maybe a little bit longer, I get a call from the Baptist minister whose church is right next to this street. And he says, I need to have you come down in 2 weeks on Saturday morning. I said, well, that's great. What's going on? He said, our membership decided that we want to sponsor a healthy community walk on Parallel Parkway on this new 2-mile stretch because this infrastructure is so great for our community and we need to get our community out and walking and get them healthy. Well, to a mayor that's sort of been trying to walk down this path, unprompted by me, to see that occur really was remarkable. And I think it showed that there's a momentum to this that really can happen. And what was important about it was a collaborative. It was a collaborative that had the ministers' union at the table with us so that more than just the elected officials or the government own the thing. We've all got to be in it. And when you start to do that, believe me, when you have constituencies out there that are now saying that infrastructure is important because we want to be healthy, those voices have influence on future decisions with elected officials. We listen to that loud and clear, and it's very important. Final point that I want to make before we turn things over to Caitlin's giving me the 1-minute sign here. We turn things over to Caitlin and Joe, is that this is also critically important and feeds back in to our strategies around economic development. So I've talked a little bit about what we've done there, but what we were able to do is sort of realign our economic development strategies around addressing a need that's urgent in so many parts of our community, and that is having access to fresh fruit and vegetables. And we've really taken an approach of using economic development incentive tools to find market participants that will come into areas that have not had groceries available to them for a long time. As we were building the collaborative, we opened our first new grocery store in 30 years. And at the time, folks told us that it was not going to work. 2 years later, it's more successful than the actual owner of the grocery store thought. It's a 45,000 square foot grocery store in our urban core. And it's a chain of about 15 grocery stores. And while they can't publicize this, I will tell you that out of that chain of 15, many of which are in suburban areas, our grocery store is the number one in the selling of fresh fruit and vegetables of all of them. Sort of dispel some of the myths and assumptions that even I had brought to the table around this. And the great news is, just in August, and we actually just are working on evaluating them now, we put out a request for proposals for another grocery store in our urban core, and we had 3 really credible submittals come through in that request process that we're evaluating now. So as we've proven that the market exists, we are getting more interest in it, in addressing that issue, using all the tools the government has available to them, but recalibrating them and focusing them on the social determinants of health. I have so much more I'd love to share with you, but let me turn things over to Joe Connor, our Director of Public Health, for the next part of our presentation.
So who likes to follow the mayor after he gives us a great speech like that? That would be me. But again, my name is Joe Connor. I've been Director of the Health Department for the Unified Government for 15 years, right before we unified. I've been an employee of the county government for almost 28, so I've been around the community a really long time, and I'm really proud of this effort, and for a lot of reasons. And if you look at that first bullet there, I think that the mayor didn't stress this enough. This is a very organic approach that we took, and it was very uncomfortable for many of us to do this. Very uncomfortable. We literally just kind of jumped off the cliff and said, "Let's have these meetings. Let's see what happens." We were lucky to have the assistance of the Kansas Health Institute. They're from Topeka, which is about an hour away from us, and they facilitated these meetings for us, did a great job of engaging folks, got everybody to participate, and it was fantastic. And one of the things that came out of those early meetings that we had was that the health department was really seen as the place that needs to be the convener. That needs to be our role. We need to be the communicator. We need to be the one-stop shop for information. If there's something going on, the health department ought to know about it. So we've embraced that role, and really, I mean, I agree with that position, and I'm glad it came from the bottom up, so that worked out real good. But I think that they look to us for leadership in this particular area, because it's an unduplicated effort. The mayor had mentioned that we have the University of Kansas Medical Center and also the University of Kansas Hospital in our community, but that's not the place where people go for that kind of information, and so we were seen as that natural leader. And again, from the organic approach, it makes it a lot more credible to move forward. You know, moving from methodology microscope to building recommendations, again, you know, the mayor has talked about moving from assessment, I'll use the term assessment, to action. You know, our community has been literally assessed to death. We have assessments after assessments. The bottom line is the same in every one of them, and so we had to take the word assessment out of our vocabulary because, quite frankly, we'd lose people if we said, well, let's assess it. No, I can't do that. So we know all about assessments, but as you heard from the United Way also, this has to be a long-term approach. I've lived in Wyandotte County my entire life, okay? And the issues and the socioeconomic things that come up in the health rankings are not new. They weren't new to anybody. The thing that was different was this was the first report that put it all in one place, okay? And it was statistically valid, and there was no argument about, well, the numbers aren't good, there's not enough here. That wasn't what we were talking about anymore. So the defensive part was down, and you know, 105 out of 105 is you know, nobody likes to lose. So we raced to the bottom and we won. I guess you could look at it that way. But we want to get ourselves up from the bottom, and you know, the policy development is just key. I mean, you have to change your expectations, your community. You've got to change the way you think about things. And so within the unified government, we've done a pretty good job of that. The mayor mentioned the Complete Streets Resolution and the Sidewalk and Trail Master Plan. That's going to change the way we think about how we do things within the unified government now. And so, and those will be there for, you know, hopefully beyond me and the mayor's time as mayor. So the one thing that we really, really, really had to overcome early on was the difference between health and health care. Okay, we formerly had three hospitals in our community, and the KU Hospital, and one was a little out further, a little west, Providence Medical Center, and then we had Bethany Medical Center, which was in the urban core, and it closed, and then it got torn down, and so a lot of the early comments that I got was, well, if Bethany wouldn't have closed, boy, where would we be now? I said, well, probably in the same spot, but you know, so it wasn't about the facility, it wasn't about the doctors and the nurses, which is all very good stuff. This is about much broader look than that. And so that was a real struggle for us early on. But we developed our message and we stayed on it. And it was, again, you have to be real consistent with that. Once you come up with what your message is, you've got to make sure that it's you know, people have confidence in it, that they've had a say in the process, that you've got to stay with it because it doesn't come easily. You don't get those wins easy. You have to kind of stick with it as you go through. So one of the things that when you stay on your message and you tell your story and you've got your community behind you is that, you know, grants from local and national philanthropies become available to you. A lot of times, I remember being in a meeting once, and I was in Washington, D.C., with one of our senator's aides, who actually was born in Kansas City, Kansas, I had found. Now, this has been a number of years ago. And he expressed extreme frustration with me because of the what he termed competitiveness of the nonprofit world in Wyandotte County. He said, I've tried to help at the federal level. I've tried to organize, you know, ways to get money into the community. But every time I do, you know, five people show up and they all fight with one another, and then nothing ever gets done. So he was extremely frustrated, you know, with that kind of approach. And so with Healthy Communities Wyandotte, we were able to say, listen, here's a broad view of our community from a health perspective. And it's diverse, anything from education to infrastructure. And if you have that message, people will start to resonate with that, and it'll start to make sense. If you're organized and you're coordinated and you've got the right people at the table, then that message becomes very strong with philanthropy. Some of our recent work, and you can kind of read those bullets, but I want to talk about the last bullet the most. And the mayor, again, we've talked about our policy recommendations, but one of the things that I've really tried to look for are opportunities to make that difference. And our Board of County Commissioners had gone through basically a 10-month strategic planning process. We were able to incorporate Healthy Communities Wyandotte concepts into two of their goals. And at this point, you know, the commissioners are deliberating about how to spend some incoming money from a new casino in our community. Well, Healthy Communities Wyandotte is one of the things that's a strong contender from a policy perspective to take that funding and do something with that. So the policy work is just so important. I know it's boring, and you can't sometimes put your arms around it, and you can't see it or touch it right away. But, boy, it's going to make a difference on down the road. And we've been at this now for a little over 3 years. Okay? So it takes a little while, but you will get there in the end. And, again, I can't really stress that enough. One of the other policies we're starting to work on in our community now is with our community college. We'd like to see them, there's a head of their wellness center, would like to see their campus become tobacco-free. And so we're able to provide some assistance with that. And we want to take that and use that as a model for other businesses in our community to try to make them tobacco-free. So we're starting to kind of venture out and get into the applications and the programs and do things that people can actually see and touch. So with that, I'll turn it over to Caitlin. Thank you very much.
Thank you all so much for your continued attention. I'm going to try and go through this rather quickly. So I first started working in Wyandotte County in 2009 as a research assistant and then an analyst with the Kansas Health Institute, providing the Mayor's Health Task Force with technical assistance and research support as they attempted to respond to the rankings. So as they built their coalition, as they started to create this community health improvement plan, I was the one sort of doing the homework. And so I want to talk to you about sort of a case study that illustrates my lessons learned as a researcher and a practitioner in Wyandotte County. And I'll do that talking about land banking. So I started full-time in June after we received a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to help us with implementation. And a couple of weeks after I started, I decided to swing by a standing committee meeting focused on neighborhood and community development issues that was hosted by the Board of County Commissioners. So it's about 5 of the county commissioners out of 10 talking about these issues. And they were talking about community gardens that day. And I said, I know that. Okay. We got this. But then I was listening to the languages they were using, and they were talking about community gardens and how they bring noises and smells that can be burdensome for the neighborhood, and how they were being built by outsiders, and most concerningly, how they can impede community development. Because when you release land to a community garden and a developer later wants to build on it, you have to buy it back at an increased price. So the standing committee built a task force to specifically examine our land bank policy, how we release land to the communities, paying special attention to community gardens. And I had to raise my hand, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I said, I'm sorry, you know, but as I hear the director of urban planning and the legal department and the county engineer and the county administrators coming onto this task force, I don't see where health is represented. And specifically, I haven't heard any mention of food deserts. We have 32,000 people living in 13 census tracts that are designated as food deserts in Wyandotte County, and 80% of our land bank properties overlap with 12 of those census tracts. I said, can I serve on this, please? I'd love to supply you with the information about those food deserts and some strategies that we can use and sort of policies around land banks to address that. One county commissioner turned to another and said, I'm sorry, did she just volunteer for more work? She must be new. I got to the task force, and the folks there were very knowledgeable, especially in what they did. And they knew generally where the land bank properties were, but they didn't know how they interacted with food deserts, and they didn't know where those food deserts were. So I got together with our Department of Geo and Spatial Services, and we put together some maps. So you're looking at four contiguous food desert census tracts in Wyandotte County, and overlaid on them are our land bank parcels. And so this is one of 13 maps. And here we sort of zoom into two of those contiguous tracts, and you can see an intense consolidation of government-owned land in all of these tracts. And so when we talk about prohibiting or limiting the release of land bank properties to community gardens because it impedes community development, when you look at these maps, you have to challenge that kind of thinking, and you have to say, well, are we going to start giving away 25 or 36 square blocks of land? Because that's what we're looking at. So we started having these discussions, and thankfully the data that we were able to present turned those discussions, but we were still focused on policy. And I had to bring up the question, you know, are our policies flawed, or is the structure really flawed? We created our land bank in the mid-90s, and since then, best practice has changed a lot. And our statute differs from best practice rather heavily, and we don't do a very good job of following the statute in the first place. So I had to ask, is it possible for us to look at best practice in the fundamental structure of our land bank? And the county engineer said, well, would you like to write a white paper telling us how we're supposed to do it? And I said, well, yeah, I will. And so I gathered our community partners and our folks from urban agriculture, our folks from food policy, and our folks from community development, and we consolidated all of the best practice that we knew of, that we had available to us, and we are in the process of writing that white paper collectively. And the nice part about being a researcher is that we're used to doing that kind of homework. That's our forte, is bringing that information to the table and saying, this is how other people have been successful in doing it. This is how we can adapt it to our community. And the data speaks for itself. It doesn't have to hinge on personal experience or anecdote. Right now, we spend $1.3 million demolishing buildings and mowing and maintaining vacant land. And, you know, when we execute best practice on a land bank, not only does it pay for itself, but it can also generate revenue. And that speaks for itself. That's not a hard sell. So sort of in sum, there's when we make the case for health, when we're willing to do homework for people, and when we're willing to say other people have taken the risk, they've been successful at it, here's how we can do it ourselves, that's when we can change the dialogue and make a pretty profound impact in our communities. So if you have any questions about anything that's presented today, please feel free to contact me, and we'd love to follow up.